I did that chopper line, I see your point.
What's up, y'all? This is your girl, Billion Dollar Baby.
And this is your girl, Mila the Brave, on
Let's Get Into It. And listen, so we got a lot of things to cover today. And I know I always say that we got some stuff, which we always do have a lot to unpack.
But it's always a lot to cover, though. It ain't a lot.
Yeah. And it's juicy. Like, so this information that we're going to start off with is more, you know, we're just trying to get the information as it comes out because we've all been wanting to know. So the story about the young lady, Shanquilla Robinson, that was found dead in their Airbnb in Mexico. This is pretty much just a lot unfolding from that. So, you know, we knew it was going to be some further investigation done. It started off with the friend saying that she died from alcohol poisoning. Then from them finding out, okay, the autopsy shows she actually had a broken neck and was beaten. So, you know, investigation was done from then on. Now, what turns out is that this woman had an altercation, and it was more of the friends, I guess the people that were there with her, having a bad feeling towards her, which we came out, you know, we got some information just recently that the reason why the aggressor went off and started beating her, started pretty much jumping her, because it wasn't like a full-on like, okay, I want to fight, you want to fight type of situation. Right. So she beat her because they had came to some information while they were on the trip that supposedly, now we don't know if this is true, but supposedly Shanquilla set up the aggressor's relative, which got
so
him
that was
killed.
True. Okay, so that was true. Because I don't know if you remember last week, guys. I briefly brought it up about how it was rumored that that was a thing, but it was a family member. I didn't know who it was specifically, but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it was a family member to the aggressor, which they found out that while they were on this trip. And it pretty much, you know, and actually there was a video that kind of led up to the moment. So I don't know if y'all recall the moment where she was recording saying, you know, we want to see everybody getting naked because they were supposed to be in their swimsuits, ready to go have some fun. And she was like, what's going on? And everybody was in the room being all serious. They wasn't in the joking manner with her. That was that moment that the girl had found out, or, you know, at least she thinks that this is what happened. And that Shanquilla had a connection to her relative dying. So, you know, argument breaks out, or, you know, I guess the confrontation comes after, you know, her actually exposing, okay, well, we know that you may have something to do with this. And one thing leads to another, they're fighting. She gets harmed in the, you know, in the deadliest way. So now Mexico, we didn't think that Mexico even had any type of they wanted to be involved in this at all. Like, we hadn't heard anything from them, right? Now, we recently heard that there was, you know, medical, people in the medical force that had actually came and responded to a call from Shanquilla being injured. And they came to try to resuscitate her. They actually did like CPR. They gave her, the voltage to try to bring her back to life. They did a lot of different things. Yes. Attempting for 3 hours. Okay. And they, from what I understand, the friends never wanted them to, never wanted the medical professionals to take her to an actual place. They wanted her, wanted them to do everything to her in the room.
Huh.
Yeah. So everybody leaves. I mean, it's just like, seems like nothing happened, but it comes out with new information that these people that, you know, came, and it was actually a doctor that actually came to the site, seeing that there was some issues and felt more inclined to at least go further into, you know, with the Mexican authorities. So they have already put out the warrant to try to get the aggressor to come to Mexico to stand trial for, you know, everything that happened and possibly more that were involved that actually, you know, agitated the situation or would have, you know, could have stopped it, but didn't. So it's getting real. I mean, I don't know if these people thought that they were able to get away with it, but you know, hey, and it's like, I mean, it is what it is. You got to live with that. But what I will say is that I'm happy to hear that they're taking a stand because, you know, certain things happen in different countries and you think, okay, well, since they are American, they're going to come back. They're going to let us handle it. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that they're taking that, you know, and it happened there. So
right. It's nice that they're taking it seriously for sure.
Yeah. And what I'm hearing is that it's not going to be pretty. Who's pretty much taken over and is going to be the prosecutor for this trial is one of the state's attorney. He's a big guy that is for a certain area in California that's going to be representing them. So he is supposedly amazing. I mean, like crazy to the point where if these people need to go to jail,
they're going to make sure they get like,
yeah,
the utmost.
It's a lot behind what the prosecutor is able to do, the history of what he's done so far. Oh, wow. He had a lot of connection with a lot of the cartels, you know, and putting people away from those cartels that had any connection with the U.S. So, I mean, it's a lot going on where we may see some justice sooner than later. So, you know, that's some more fresh details of the situation. And we're just going to always be staying tuned to find out, like, okay, so what is happening?
Next? Right.
Because, of course, you know, we want to see this young lady get justice. And, you know, I understand there was a supposed issue that made the aggressor, you know, act like this in the first place to then lead to these events happening. But it doesn't excuse the, you know, still, the fact that she killed her, you know, right. You can be upset and, you know, want to, you know, do anything, but go about it the right way. Now we're seeing that the way you went about it, it was all the way wrong.
Right.
And it didn't get you any results that were good, you know, so.
I mean, a bunch of lives lost here. It's, I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It's good to know. Well, it's not good to know, but it's interesting finding out the motive behind it. Mm-hmm. It's starting to look more and more to me like, I hate to say it, but it almost seems like it was more something that was kind of calculated because it's just weird. But I mean, I guess I can't say it's calculated because they found out mm-hmm. there, but it's like upon her knowing, was that her aim? And then the fact that they didn't want, once the doctors arrived, they didn't want Chanquella to be taken to the hospital, which mm-hmm. she would have had more opportunities to fight, especially since they said she was alive for like 3 hours. You yeah. know, it's like, did you guys just kind of want to leave her for dead? You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Or maybe it was just the fear of getting caught, but I don't know how they felt that they were going to get away with it. I'm just puzzled.
Yeah. I mean, It's a weird thing. Like, I feel like, you know how people react in that moment? And mm-hmm. at that point, they feel very invincible. Like, nothing can happen.
Right.
They just want to do what they want to do. But then...
And they're not thinking about the repercussions. They're just like, I can do what I want.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was what it was. More so, like, you know, this young lady could have been very upset, feeling like, okay, I need to handle this my way, you know? Mm-hmm. And... then not understanding that, okay, once this is over, we do have to deal with this. See I mean, it's like a ripple effect, and it literally got her nowhere. I mean, actually, it got her somewhere, but
this is, but like, I'm sure this is where she wants to be.
Yeah. And actually, so, you know, wanted to just make sure I was more accurate on the information. So the prosecutor is for the state of Baja California, sir. I believe that's a part of Mexico. I know that, that, you know, it's a lot of ties or different things like that. But his name is Daniel De La Rosa Anaya, and he's the prosecutor for the state of Baja California. So he's pretty much sought, you know, international authorities in charge, you know, for these charges. And he's, you know, he's quoted, this case is fully clarified. We even have a court order. So there is an arrest warrant issued for the crime of femicide to the detriment of the victim and against an alleged perpetrator and a friend of hers who is the direct aggressor. So it wasn't a quarrel, but instead a direct aggression. So they're pretty much, you know, clarifying it. They have gotten down to the very bottom of it. So yeah, you know, it may not have been like premeditated, like, oh yeah, we're gonna go on this trip, we're gonna do this, you know, we're gonna claim that we're bad friends or that we're good friends and actually be bad friends and be setting her up the whole time. I don't think that that was that, but we do understand that while they were there, some information unfolded. There was
and they felt they needed to react.
Yeah. And so in that case, no, you're not a good friend, because no matter what, and I get it. If it has anything to do with death of a relative, you're very upset. You're hurt.
Of course, there's emotions there.
Yeah. But it doesn't have to result in the way that it resulted this time. Right. You know, it's a lot. It's a lot there that just went completely wrong, especially where you have, it was more than just the one that was actually putting her hands on this young lady. It was another girl that came in and started, oh, you know what? I'm going to book up too, you know, hit you. And it's like, come on, that's too much. So yeah, it does look
excessive,
like,
at this point.
Yeah. It's going to definitely be labeled as a direct aggression. And so they're carrying out as much as they need to in this case. And I mean, this guy, you know, he gets the job done. So these people, I pray they're for them. Away. They're not going to see. Yeah. They're not going to see a lot of light.
As they should. They don't deserve that. You know, after making that choice, you know, hey, justice is real.
Mm-hmm.
So thank goodness for justice.
Yeah. I'm happy that, like I said, Mexico could take up for that. And I think that that is obviously, something that they should do, being that they are very good allies to America. So that's, you know, I would have hoped after some time that they would have stepped up and said something like this and take action.
Right. Like, we provide a lot of tourism there, you know, so
yeah,
it would be a bad look if they just kind of swept it under the rug. I like that they are taking this seriously, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah.
For sure.
So, yeah, that's, you know, so new update. We will definitely be keeping, you know, new information, you know, while we're coming on and doing our show. We're going to definitely keep you guys updated as much as we know. But so, you know, to move forward, and we're not going to really, it's not really much of a more lighter situation, but a different term.
Just switching gears.
Context, yeah, because... so we're getting some information about our brother, August Alsina, okay, so a lot of people feel like he has dibbling dabbling in a few different activities over the past few years since he's been out here as an artist, as we have known, since we've known him as August Alsina. There has been some rumors floating around.
Right.
Now, it seems as though he confirmed those rumors with his more recent interview, or his, I think he's on the show, The Surreal Life.
On
VH1. And so he's pretty much talking about, you know, he's been learning how to love and learning what love is. And it looks like something new because it's coming from somebody different. And so he, you know, he came out and he brought somebody on the show, and it actually was a guy. and I think his name is Zaza. So everybody is jumping to these conclusions of, oh my gosh, that's his boyfriend. We knew it. Now, I'm kind of like still questioning this because a lot of artists, especially him, a lot of people like to give out some information.
Yeah.
But at the same time, still have it as a mystery.
Yeah.
So with him, knowing kind of like how he has, you know, portrayed himself all this time, given his personality, the way that he moves, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, this looks like his brother. I swear it looks like his brother. I wouldn't be surprised if he's just pretty much saying like, yeah, I found love. Love, it came in a new way. Love looks new, you know, for him. This type of love.
It didn't have to be romantic.
Right.
It's more so just romantic. Right. So it's like, you know, that is enough love for me. It's, you know, because a lot of times people are trying to find love. You know, I need to find my other half. I need to find my soulmate. But he's probably just like, I'm content here.
Yeah. Honestly, I watched a video of where everybody, you know, starting sharing and saying that, oh, he, you know, this is his man. This is, you know, the way that they embrace each other. It looks like a very much brotherly embrace. Mm. It looked more like, I mean, they even like dapped each other. They did like a little dap and then a hug that wasn't, you know, it wasn't giving like, oh, we, you know, lay in the bed and look into each other's eyes type of thing. Like it was giving like, this is my brother. Like he, whether it's blood or not, you know, I don't know, but it was giving like
someone this is that he considers like, you know, brotherly.
Yeah. Like it was really giving like, this is like, I love you. Like, you know, like I got love for you and I love you. Like, you know, I care for you and you have showed me some things, you know, that, you know, as far as living in a healthy way and having a mental state that's very healthy and progressive, like that's what he was giving with sharing all of this. So I don't think that this is somebody that he's involved with romantically. I don't, but you know, there is the 50-50 where a lot of people feel the same and a lot of people are like
rumors of him being homosexual.
There was a few different things that floated. I mean, it was like
before this.
Yeah, you know, okay, so you know when they came out, him, Trey and Chris Brown, they came out with that song.
The remix.
Yeah, the remix of his song. Right.
That's so great.
I love that song. And everybody has something to say. And I remember him going on, and this is when 106 and Park was still on. It was like Bow Wow and I forget the lady's name. Oh, but yeah.
Foxy. Was it Roxy?
Was it Roxy? No. Not Roxy, because okay. Roxy was with Terrence. Mm. It was another girl that was on, and she was pretty much just trying to, like, ask all these questions, like, yeah, so we've been hearing rumors and da-da-da-da. Is anything going on with you and Trey Songz?
Oh,
and he just kept saying, like, yeah, and he's been like, I mean, he was looking at her like, well, what is wrong with you? But then he was telling her, like, please don't go against the grain.
I remember that.
Yeah. And she had to check her, again.
Like, don't do that.
Yeah. And even Bow Wow was like, all right, wait a minute now. Let's switch gears here, you know? And I mean, at that point, it just looked like when the way that he even dealt with that situation, like, no, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, there's just no, like, don't ask me not like that, because it's just like, that's just crazy, you know?
Right.
So I got, and you pretty much, you could, well, I won't say that you could just tell, but
it's like, you never can.
You never know, for real. But on the other hand, you do have men that be like, listen, like, they get really like upset because it's just like, no, like, don't mistake me for something that I'm not. And it's not to say that they don't like those type of people or anything like that, but it's just like, don't just make up something about me just because you think that, you know?
Right.
So, and that's how he
want me to go with it.
Yeah. And that's the type of energy he gave back then. So I honestly never thought he really was. I just think that people looked at him and was like, oh, so he's a pretty guy. You know, he sings and he all, you know, soft and mushy and stuff. And, you know, then they just like correlate the two. But I mean, yeah, it's funny. I mean, you know, people make up rumors all the time
because they love the mess.
Yeah.
They love the Met. I mean, I don't know. Like, I kind of like, you know, when I showed you one article, you know, I had to be messy. I'm always picking the messy side. So like when I saw it, you know, I was like, oh, he looks happy. And it's just like, I don't know. I just got my emotions got all into it because it's just seeing how, like, I'm not saying he was wronged by Jada Pinkett, but, you know, I feel like, I mean, I think that situation was a situation where, you know, she's an older woman, more mature, and he was younger and he just wasn't ready for that. I think she turned him out. Like, you know what I mean?
I don't know.
I feel like she showed it. No, not turn him out in that way.
Yeah, I'm just saying,
I think she just really like showed him something. Right. Like she, really, he was probably like really like in love kind of with her. And sorry, go ahead.
Well, no. I mean, I was just going to say, I kind of feel like in a way he just needed something like where it helped him mentally and emotionally because from what I understand about his life, and, you know, I listen to music, like I listen to his music and so like from really getting to know, you know, from what we see and hear, from getting to know him, like he was troubled, you know, he grew up in a very unstable way. The brother died, yes, and it was very close. And then the brother's wife or girlfriend at that time, she ended up passing a little bit after that. So, like, he is now, like, the full guardian of the three girls that his brother had. But it's like, you know, people are passing that's, you know, very close to him in his life. And then you have the people that are still alive that are distancing themselves because they feel like, okay, now that you made it and you're famous, you have money, now they treat you different. So, you know, you just have all these things going on and it can affect somebody very, you know, in a different way mentally. So I don't know. I just feel like maybe he just needed something. And Jada was more like, she needed, you know, because it just seems very clear that,
they were kind of like trauma bonding.
Like trauma bonding, but at the same time, like she is more mature and aged and wise, you know, so she has a lot more on him versus him, you know, it's like, and I wouldn't say that it was more of her manipulating him, but it's just like she kind of knows what she needs and it's like she was sucking that from him, but then he wasn't getting what he needed from her. And so I feel like he was just drained in every way that eventually, he needed some type of somebody to help him. And I mean, shit, if it ends up being a man or a woman, it's just like, who cares? As long as he does get, you know, what he needs to be sane and
healthy. Not going off the deep end, right? I mean, because a person can only take so much. I don't know. I think he's coming out. And I could be wrong. I can't wait to see, like, what it is.
Yeah.
But, like, Billion's always right.
But I'm gonna stick to my guns. I think he's coming out, maybe because I want him to, because it's just so empowering. And it's just, I don't know, he just looks so happy. And I just love it. It's just like the light in his eyes. It was incredible to see. Like, I didn't follow that much about August, but it's just like when I did like his song Downtown, and wanted to know what was behind that. And that's when I found out about his brother. But then later I found out that he was taking care of his kids. And I was like, oh my God, what a beautiful soul. And it's just like occasionally you just hear about August popping up here and there on the blogs. Like, you know, somebody beat him up. Like, I'm like, oh my God, like poor guy. Like, he's just going through so much. And he does just appear to me as like a lost soul kind of.
Yeah,
kind of find his way.
He does.
I really empathize with August.
Yeah, you know, too, like, I don't know when this Surreal Life is airing or if it even came out yet. But I feel like he had so much that he dealt with as a child and then as an adult. It's like he kind of just fell apart. So then, and then also with the autoimmune disease that he had, that's now physically getting him, you know? So it's just like so many different things that the light in him now, I feel like, you know, it's more so, it might be, okay, yeah, he has somebody in his life, whether it's romantic or not, but then it also could just be the fact that, like, I'm here. Because when you see so much, when you have so many dark days, like that can really affect somebody to the point where, you know, when you start to make it through and you're like, okay, I'm seeing myself succeed through this right. and getting through it. Like, yeah, that might put somebody, you know, at any point, like you're going to be like, thank God, right. you know? And then I feel like for him too, like in a lot of Black men, and I don't know why it seems like this is like a pattern for me. Trust me, I do generalize it. So it's not just Black people, but since we're just talking about a Black man, I do feel like a lot of Black men don't get that credit to have other Black men in their corner without it being romantic.
That you is know? True, like, though. That is true.
Yeah, because it's just like, so you can have a best friend and y'all could love each other and, you know, and y'all both bros. Right.
It doesn't have to be some kind of intimate thing. It's just really just two guys just showing love for each other. It doesn't always have to be so perverse.
But what I will say is that there's a very, you know, historic thing about that because, I mean, of course, Black men being romantic with other Black men had kind of been like a forced thing that, you know, gradually became like a, okay, well, you know, maybe we like this, you know? I mean, because that started off back in slavery where they were like trying to get Black men to be with Black men or get the Black men to rape the girls or, you know, like them slave owners and people that were, you know, in charge of a lot of different things, they had sick requests from us, you know, so
we had to play, you know, we had to do it.
Yeah. And so it was just like, I feel like that's kind of something that goes way back where we might not even understand what's happening now, you know, but it did start somewhere. So then, and it's just a sinful, it's just a very sinful thing to think about when you think of like, just all of it and all of it together. I feel like, you know, not saying that people can't love who they love and be what they want to be, but I do feel like it's just like it went where it started. It started so like evil because it wasn't about love at that point. Right, you know, it was about like
perverse desire.
Right.
Or maybe even control. Just like you're gonna do it because I told you to.
Exactly. And so with that in mind, it's like, ooh, like that is just so demonic.
Right.
So then, you know, and of course now, you know, we're not thinking about, oh, like I want to be with a man or I want to be with a woman because I want to be this like this, like a demonic person or a sinner or nothing like that. Because you're just thinking about what you like and what you love. So it's nothing like that. But where it started. And so, yeah, I feel like that that idea that, you know, men have to be romantic with the other is like it's weird, you know, that it could be just jumped to that conclusion. Right. Versus it just being like an honest and true friendship or, you know, whatever, like you just love the person or you just care for them deeply. So I hope that that does change eventually, you know, but yeah, didn't mean to get too deep. Cause, we definitely,
You know, that's what we do here. That's why we get into it. It wouldn't get into it if we didn't get into it.
We got to get into it.
Definitely was good to trace it back. I mean, because it does make you wonder, what is it? Why are we so uncomfortable? Yeah. I mean, you see other cultures. I mean, shoot, I won't put anything too well. I will. I remember I was in India. I remember when I was in India, and I was shocked to see men like holding hands. I mean, that might be a little bit much, but it's just there was a comfort slightly in knowing that they were that open. I'm not saying we have to go that far here, but it's just nice knowing that if I hug you or whatever, it's not because I'm a homosexual. It's just I'm showing my love to you. I think that we need that in the Black community. I do think that's partially why Black men feel like they have to repress certain emotions or why they feel like they can't be sentimental, because it's like you don't, or even why, you know, men feel like they have to sleep with all their female friends, because it's like, I feel like Black men, unfortunately, don't get the pleasure of truly experiencing friendship.
Oh, yeah. That's a fact. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I once you see the beauty and actually just, hey, dude, like, I'm not saying all Black men are like this. You have people that are healed and they love their friends and they're not afraid to say, I love you, man. You're so awesome. Whatever, uplifting their friends. And that's cool. But you do have some where it's just a lot of animosity or there's no support or they don't even feel like they can be like, I love you, man, without it being gay. It's just, you know, just that kind of brotherly love that I feel like is beautiful to see. It does. Yeah. Everything doesn't have to be so sexual. Yeah. And unfortunately, in our community, that's something that really bothers me, is that we make everything so sexual.
Yeah. It's either sexual or a competition.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of those things where, again, it does trace back.
Mm.
I mean, and it's in a way meant, it was set up to set us back mentally. You know, those, I feel like those things were done out of control to keep us oppressed. Oh, yeah.
To keep,
you know.
Yeah, to definitely keep their foot on your neck.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. For sure.
So, yeah, that, you know, we'll definitely share this, you know, on the socials so that you guys can, you know, just bring your opinions and, yeah, let us know what you feel about that.
We would love to know why you feel the same way. Why can't Black men, you know, openly share that love with each other?
Yeah.
Without it being homosexual, you know?
Yeah.
So
I know that we just wrapped up a lot, but we also just wrapped up the holiday season. So Thanksgiving just passed. That was so great. I love the holidays. I love Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. They're literally like the best three holidays.
All of our family. To me.
Yeah.
All about looking at the year differently. All about looking at people around you differently and just gratitude.
Yeah. It was definitely like, I will say I enjoyed my Thanksgiving. I chilled. I was like, you know what? I'm going to relax. I'm going to eat. I'm going to just have a good time, share that time with my loved ones. And it felt good for me, you know. And I also looked at it like, this is the last time that I'm going to chow down. Because when I tell you, my New Year resolution is starting early. So
I know that's right.
it's not. Yeah. I'm not going to hit it at the New Year's Eve. No. Or the first day. No. We're going to start it early. Because I want to get ahead of mine. But
I know that's right.
Yeah.
So then people are like, oh, yeah, New Year's resolution. Everybody's New Year's resolution.
New Year,
is to
New
lose
me.
Like, yeah, well, yeah. I started early, so don't do it.
Yeah, listen, we
I gotta join you for real because I've been gaining some weight. I've been I don't know, like since it's been getting cold, I've been gaining the comfort of just eating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then it doesn't help when you have like so many of these brunch places or these nice little restaurants that have just the good food that make you just feel so good. And I've always been a foodie. Like I love it. So
I love me some food.
Yeah,
especially some comfort
it's hard.
Food.
Yeah, but I will be diving into a new healthy way to get what I love, but also make sure it's not too crazy for my body because we are getting old, you know.
Yeah,
we gotta that's watch ourselves.
Gotta start taking supplements.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I agree. We do have to take care of ourselves for sure. It's crazy, you know. I don't know. Getting older is just a process, like mentally, physically, and spiritually. It's just odd.
Yeah. And one thing I will say that it doesn't feel like you're getting old until you feel old. Because I, you know, people be like, well, you're young. And me, I'm looking at it like, okay, so I know you're telling me that I'm young, but what I feel, and I used to think that too, but then what I feel in my body, like if I squat and it takes me a second to stand back up, that's
girl, be
that
your knees
to
too.
Me. Yeah, it feels old to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I understand that those are old people symptoms. So
so I'm gonna say I feel old, thank you very much.
You know, but yeah, we definitely gonna touch on some New Year's resolutions as we get a little bit closer. I feel like we can do a little countdown to New Year's. You know how they do the little 25 days till Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
We could definitely do that. Yeah, and get you guys involved. Let's figure out what everybody's New Year's resolution is, how we can help. Let's get into that. But I did want to get into a really quick topic that
Sorry, you know, I know involved. We just danced.
No. Like, we're good. But, you know, it definitely involves the Thanksgiving holiday. And I want to know from anyone that's, well, you know, anybody that's in a relationship, anybody that's married, singles, everybody out there. I'm going to play a video, which it circulated around social media, you know, over this holiday weekend. We have a mom that says some not so nice things to the daughter-in-law about her food. So, and they were actually at the daughter-in-law's house while they were hosting for, you know, the Thanksgiving dinner. So I'm going to play this audio so you guys can hear it and just tell me what y'all think.
Nasty. Don't do that.
So, I don't know if it was too clear. I don't know if it was the best sound because they were yelling. Mm-hmm. But I'll do a little breakdown of what happened. So here we have mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, you know, the husband and other family at the table. The mother-in-law is like, I don't know why we come here and eat every year because you can't cook. Why is there raisins in the potato salad?
Yeah, yeah.
And the daughter-in-law is like, listen, this is how I cook. Leave it or, you know, like it or leave it. And pretty much like, you're not going to come here and disrespect me. Right. And the mother-in-law is like, well, listen, I don't know why you even married her.
Dang.
Like, she can't cook. And pretty much this is why he's skinny. This is why he don't look like he putting on weight.
He ain't eating good because you can't cook.
And the daughter-in-law picks up a chunk of the potato salad and throws it at the mama.
Yeah,
and that was them going, but you know, one thing I will say is that it was supposed to be funny and it was definitely a skit, but it's a serious situation because that really does happen.
It does.
And it may not happen just, you know,
it may not be the holidays, like it could be other days.
Yeah, it could be other days too. And it could be where, you know, the mother-in-law is not, you know, so embracing of the daughter-in-law not knowing how to cook and just guiding her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just like those are things that you don't want to happen,
right?
at the dinner table. You don't want it to happen at all, just when it comes to the two ladies in your life, the mom and the wife. Like, that's just it's not a good look. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, what do you think? I feel like it was a skit, but when it comes to the real life situations, this is important for mother-in-laws to understand where they play, where they're supposed to step in, say things, and when they're supposed to sit down and keep it tight. So I don't know. How do you feel about this?
I don't know. Like, I know. I kind of relate. I don't like to speak about it, but I will. Mm-hmm. I was married before, and my mother-in-law, rest in peace, but she and I we didn't agree on a lot. And it was always kind of coming at me, kind of attacking me, and we did actually have a similar situation. So like, my ex-husband's people, they're more of like, they're from my mom's country, but they're from the village. And I say this because there's a difference on how certain things are prepared. And my mom is from the city of, it's Gabon, Libreville. And they make a difference. So this is cassava leaves. So usually people in the village tend to put a lot more peanut butter. Like, you know, my ex-husband would even say, oh my goodness, my mama put so much peanut butter that you can literally chew on the chunks. And I'm like, oh, you know, but you know, so he said that's how she makes it. But my mom's people don't really like peanut butter like that. I think if they use any, it might be a minimal amount. But me, the way I make it, I put a little bit, and I know I put more than what my people do, but it's to where you barely taste it. The peanut butter just provides a little bit more of like a creamier taste.
Yeah.
But you're not supposed to taste the peanut butter.
You know? Right, right.
So a lot of Gabonese,
that hint.
Right. So a lot of Gabonese cooking, they like to have that. But anyway, she was like, oh, you don't know how to cook cassava leaves because you don't do it the way I do it. And I said, well, I appreciate your input. But the reality of the situation, we just have to understand that we're from different places and we make it differently. And that just is what it is. You know, it's just like different places in Africa, they're going to make it differently. You know, to where how I make it, they'll be like, what the hell are you making like that? Like, so it's just everybody does it differently. And I think just going back to the Thanksgiving thing, it is very sensitive because there's some people who, you know, the daughter-in-law is thinking, you know, she's extending out her hand, inviting the family over, trying to show her appreciation and cook. And I think I even heard her say slightly in the background that, you know, I don't even cook like that. So with her saying that, it's just kind of like, you know, I know it's a skit, but with her saying that, I feel like it should be acknowledged and understood that she can't really cook. So she's doing the best that she can. And if you do see that she has issues, and to me, you look fake as a mother-in-law, because I'm like, you're sitting there every year and you're just chucking it up and accepting it. But if you were a real one, just go ahead and say, hey, sweetheart, you know, is there anything I can help you with this Thanksgiving?
Okay.
You know, or do you mind if I just give you a couple pointers? Again, it's just like, I feel like people really should learn how they talk to people.
Yeah.
You know, there's a sense of diplomacy and respect that I think needs to be introduced in that. But a lot of times there's usually an issue with the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law. But I think that's something for the son. He usually needs to nip it in the bud. And if you find that he's not, you need to have those conversations with your man. And maybe even I wasn't afraid to speak up. So I would definitely have moments alone with her and be like, hey, you know, did you really have to word it like that? Or, you know, did you really have to? We would hash it out because we had time alone. I would make sure I went, I sought her. And be like, you know, that how you talked to me the other day. Yeah, we're not doing that.
You did not.
Okay. Yeah. So we would have many times like that. Or, you know, I try to understand her perspective, but there needs to be that mutual ground. I think she went too far saying, you know, oh, I don't even know why she married you. I mean, there's so many amazing reasons why you married that woman.
Right.
And her flaw of not being able to cook. It's like, come on, dude, give me a break. So, but even that line right there makes me feel like they already have like some underlying issues already.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like. I don't know why you even
like
married her.
Like she doesn't even like her. So it's just, that's just one of the other things as to why I don't even understand why you're with this woman.
Right. Know? Yeah. And a part of me feels like that's a whole like mama's boy situation because where you have the mothers that are so attached to their sons and they can't even allow some type of love and guidance to flow from the mother to the daughter-in-law, because at the end of the day, that's what you're, I mean, it's a daughter-in-law for a reason.
Right.
You're extending the family. So you're bringing an addition and this is, you're supposed to be able to mother the daughter-in-law just as much as you would the son.
Very true.
At that point, the mother is like having some type of jealousy or, you know, resentment for the son moving on to find a new woman in his life. That part is, you know, unfortunately something that a lot of people deal with, because that mother and son relationship, it just becomes like this very, very attached, clingy type of thing where it could be either the mother being overly controlling and overstepping, or the son would be like completely and just way too attached to the point where they want to involve the mother in everything that the, you know, what, you know, they're doing in their relationship. So that I feel like those issues arise in those types of situations because there is that issue there where maybe the mom is feeling less than, because there is somebody that she feels maybe quote unquote
taking her spot.
Yeah. Taking her spot. So, and I mean, I don't understand that because at the end of the day, you raise your kids to grow up and have their own family. So it's just like, are you alone? Like, do you not have
it's eventually going to come? Like, I don't understand what the shock is.
Like, yeah, because it's just like, how are you so involved to be mean and you know, like disruptive in your son's life with his wife? When you have somebody, it can't, like, there's no way. Like, so you would have to be pretty much lonely and by yourself and not have a husband of your own or a man of your own to be this type of mother to your son and then the daughter-in-law. Like, that has to be, because I can't think of any other.
You're way too involved, you know?
Yeah.
Involved.
And yeah, that's kind of sad. But me personally, I don't feel like the daughter, like, yeah, the daughter-in-law, like, you know, at that point, I'm just not going to host at my house anymore. Like, if you want to cook and you want to feel like you do a better job at cooking, then you host. Because I'm not going to host at my house and then you tell me that the way I make my food is nasty. Sucks. You don't like it. You don't know why he came here. You don't know why he married. No.
Yeah, you're not about to read me for filth every year.
You know? And that's just like a little bit overboard. And it's kind of like, then you're subjecting yourself to this type of behavior that you know. And then I would just be like, okay, so where is the son? Like, what is he doing? Like, the husband.
He wasn't
like,
saying why much. Is he not? Right.
Yeah. Like, at that point, okay, there's two issues, because the mother is acting crazy and then you not even defending me. There's no.
You suck at being a mediator.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't even need to be here anymore. You might as well go marry your mama.
I mean, at this point,
that's what it looked like. Yeah.
It was definitely given that.
Yeah.
For sure. But no, I'm not okay with it. But that's a whole nother conversation in itself. And I know we're not going to be able to approach. It's probably going to be something we'll say for next week, guys. But I just don't even understand why mothers do that. Not all mothers, but I don't know. It's just weird. I can't wait for us to tackle it next time.
Yeah.
I don't even want to start. But
is there anything else you'd like to add?
Honestly, I do want to end it on a great note, yes, where we just leave some positive vibes, some great encouragement, some words. We are getting into our season. We're stepping into a new year. A lot of changes. A lot of people feel like there should be changes made, you know? So I just want to encourage that, although we may, you know, set these resolutions and these things that we're going to do to help ourselves and further ourselves in a new year, understand that there are things that, you know, are meant to happen in their due time. Mm-hmm. So whether it's something that you want to, you know, whether you see this for your life and you see it happening, this is your vision and you want it so badly, don't get sucked into what actually plays out, because you don't know the story. You don't know the way your life is set up to happen. It's an unwritten book. It happens every day, and new events occur that changes every other thing that happens after. So we always just want to, you know, be mentally in tune with ourselves to know, okay, we can't control things, but we can control at least how we react to things and then what we are prepared for. And so we just keep this in mind, everybody, you know, as we start a new week, and we're going to be, you know, gradually ending this year, prepare yourself, pray about what you want, pray about what you feel you may need in your life to succeed and to be a better person, but also get prepared. You don't want to be caught slipping with your blessings. You get it and you don't know what to do with it. So definitely stay in tune with you, know yourself, and then keep it moving and keep it together so that you are ready and set. Yeah, right. for what you're praying for. So that's all I wanted to end.
I agree. And I think that everyone should also remember, I mean, especially with this really, really, really crazy case with Shanquella and what she's gone through. But just keep in mind who you have in your circle. That is the difference between success and failure. And it does sound super dramatic, but if you have a whole bunch of pessimistic individuals that are in your circle who don't think that you can manifest greatness, who don't think that you can get in a better position than what you are at today, who don't want better for you, who have the misery loves company type of approach to life, mm-hmm. that can be limiting. I mean, even if you are someone that's different, it's just hearing that kind of talk, seeing those kind of actions and behaviors are eventually going to make you mold in that way, or
yeah,
affect you somehow, but it's just better to surround yourself with people that are similar to you and the direction you want to go.
Yes.
So, you know, forget about saving others. You have to save yourself. It isn't your job to save anybody but yourself. It doesn't mean you're selfish. It just means you're practicing self-preservation, which is what every human being is doing. Every intelligent human being is doing. But yes, we will go ahead and wrap this show up.
Okay.
We are so happy you could join us. And we hope you tune in to next week on Let's Get Into It.
See you later.
So, peace and love.